Do you remember the compact TC1100?
What about the Pocket PC?
What about the Apple Newton?
Oh, yeah, or the Palm Pilot.
What about the Quill?
Now you're just being silly.
Yeah, but we have been trying to integrate pens and computers for a long time. I think stretching back to, the 19th century.
You've been on Wikipedia again,
I have.
Yes, welcome to another episode of Context, a show about the right experience on the right device at the right time. And today, we're looking at pen and ink.
Roll the credits. Welcome to another episode of Context, the Channel 9 show where we talk about natural interaction on modern devices, coming to you from Microsoft in the UK. I'm Mike Talty and I'm here with my colleague Andrew Spooner. And today we're talking about an area that Microsoft's long had an interest in, which is that of digital pens and ink. So I suppose where we should start really is thinking about the types of devices that we're thinking of when we talk about digital ink.
Yeah, so I think most people's experience of devices when it comes to this, the most common one is the delivery guy who turns up and asks you to sign for next door's parcel. And when I look at that, there's a really badly drawn version of my signature, which I think if you showed it to me out of context a week or two later, I wouldn't even recognise as my own signature.
I think part of that is that those are using a sort of what we might call a stylus, really, and it's a fairly sort of dumb device on a capacitive screen, and it acts a bit like a thin finger. So it's not really what we're talking about here in this show when we're talking about digital ink, because we're talking about devices that have actively digitized and pens. So the device knows exactly where the pen is with great precision, and it knows about the pressure being applied to the device, and it knows about the direction of the pen and all those kinds of things, which means you can build up a complex sort of data structure of what's being done, as opposed to just a kind of thin finger on a device, really.
Sure.
And I suppose it's also good to think about the sorts of places where we use these things.
Yeah, and so if I think about two of the main things that I do with pens, I write notes for people and I mark up documents. I think that was one of the main things that I realised I did this week. So when it comes to notes, if we've got a chalkboard at home, I'm not going to try and digitise that because it's a really quick, simple, accessible, I don't have to wait for a device to boot up and I never have to save that. It's like, I fed the dog and that can be discarded and wiped out at any point. But I was marking up a legal document. I had a 40-page legal document I was reviewing and then writing comments against. And to do that digitally was a far easier thing for me to do because it meant it was already saved, it was in the cloud, I didn't have to lose the doc. Well, if I did lose the document, it was always there. And I could easily share it with other people, or send it back to the solicitors, share it with my wife and things like that. So marking up, highlighting and annotating a document like that made a great deal of sense to me to do that on a screen with a pen.
Yeah, and I think those are probably two of the core scenarios really for digital ink, really, is that annotation and then of course note-taking, and sometimes that involves handwriting recognition, sometimes not. And I think the other things in there which are really interesting, that idea of you create things digitally because you probably want to play around with them afterwards, so, you know, to change some things and easily erase and those kinds of things, but also because you want to share stuff. So I know that I will use a piece of paper, perhaps, if I know I'm just going to tear it up and put it into the bin. But I'll probably start on a digital device if I'm pretty sure that actually it's going to get shared with somebody else, because I know it's going to be so much easier to do that and then add more comments after the event.
Yeah. One of the other things that I like the digital pen for is for drawing or for sketching or painting, because the richness that you can get with colours these days, and because the failure rate or the if you make a rubbish painting, you haven't lost anything as such, you've lost a bit of time, and it's so quick to put something down and to experiment with it that you're not investing in paints and materials, although I do that as well, but I use the digital surface more as a practice for some of the things that I might put onto a canvas.
And it's also interesting when you see those applications like Fresh Paint on the Windows platform start to talk about some of the things that come from real world inking and painting, like drying the watercolor or drying the digital ink and those kinds of things. And when we drop into code in just a second, we'll also see some of this notion of wet and dry ink coming across into the frameworks and SDKs. So some of the real life experience of ink shows up because it's very much part of our experience and how we expect these things to work.
Yeah. But before we get into that code, let's go and take a look at some Vox Pops. and find out how people are using these technologies out in the real world.
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
I do.
Yes, I do. Several times.
Not particularly.
I do.
Yes. Both.
Use it at work to take notes.
Mostly to draw.
Yes.
No.
Yes, I do. Exclusively.
No, I don't.
No.
I prefer my own handwriting.
Mostly at work at the moment.
Mostly at the meetings.
Yeah. Sketching out what would normally be whiteboard sketches.
I take a lot of notes during the lectures.
There's something about pen and paper that's just more natural, more fluid, and it's just quick and easy.
I hope so.
Potentially.
It has already replaced my pen and paper.
Yes, that's right. We're going to show you the code. So we're going to start at the start and reiterate some of the points we made in some earlier episodes, and that's really around pointers and how much work Windows does for you when it comes to using devices such as pen for input.
Yeah, sure. So let's start with a really simple demo, and it reiterates some of the points we've made before. This is Windows 10, Universal Windows Platform. Very simple thing. We're just going to have a media element in the middle of the screen, and I can drag this around with my finger. I can drag it around with my mouse. I can drag it around with a pen, which is what we're talking about in today's show. And if we go and drop into the code, there's very little of it here. So here's the XAML file. We have a media element. And essentially, the key point is that it doesn't handle mouse or pen events. It handles pointer events. So we've got that nice abstraction of anything that can point. And we have a transform on here. And all we do from a coding perspective, very, very quickly, if we take a look at this, is when the pointer is pressed, we just grab the position where you pressed. When you move your pointer, we essentially just change the translation to translate the distance that it's moved. And when you release the pointer, we send the video back to the middle of the screen. But the key thing is that we're dealing with pointer events, not mouse events, not touch events, and not pen events. And that's really where everything kind of starts. So pretty simple thing, but pointers, not mice or pens or touch or anything like that.
So we're going to start off this next demo by taking a look at maybe how you might have historically had to have handled pen and ink input. And Mike, you've got a sample application here that you've written for us.
Yeah, so let's just run this up and I pick up my pen and start to draw on the screen. Now, we just talked about being generic in the way we handle pointers. And I just start to draw on the screen.
But you're still getting a wealth of information back from that pen there. We can see down the bottom right-hand corner there, you're getting the measure of pressure sensitivity coming from it there.
Yeah, so what's happening there, if we just jump to that piece of code very quickly, just stop debugging here for a second, and if we have a look at what's happening, we are essentially picking up a generic piece of data. So if we look in this function here, update pen properties, which draws that stuff on the right-hand side, you'll see it gets this generic type, point-to-point. But it actually carries a ton of data in it, a sort of a union of all the possibilities, really. So things like this property here, is the pen in contact with the screen? Is it an integrated device? And then we just use some reflection to get all the other properties, including things like the bounding box of the contact point and the pressure that's been applied. So whilst it's generic, it carries a lot of data and there's a lot of stuff in there. If I run this back up and carry on drawing, so you notice that gets built up as we draw. Nice little lines.
And then when you get to the end there, you're going from a yellow line into a blue line. What's happening behind that piece there?
Yeah, well, so what that means is really I'm doing everything here myself. So this is a Windows 10 UWP application, but I'm kind of doing this in a very old school way just to show kind of what you used to have to do. It's very similar to my initial example in that what we're doing is handling pointer pressed and pointer released events and those kinds of things. So if we take a look at that for a second, let's just jump to our pointer pressed events up here. Let's just swiddle a bit of code. So here we are, pointer pressed, we get the current point, we make a notice of it, and that's all we do. But notice we've got a new object in here called the Ink Manager. And Ink Manager starts to do some work for us, but again, we wouldn't do this necessarily today, but it does do some work for you, so we just thought we'd show it here. We tell it, hey, the pen has just gone down. And then when the pointer moves, we get the current point, and we essentially draw a new line, and we draw that in yellow from where the pen was to where the pen is. But we also tell the ink manager again, hey, by the way, the pen's now moved. And this ink manager is quietly watching in the background saying, okay, let me build some smarts out of that. And finally, when the pointer is released, well, this is when things kind of get interesting, because we tell the ink manager to process the pointer up, but then what I do here is I have this function that actually wipes out the thing that the user just drew, which seems a bit crazy because you've just drawn it in yellow ink and then we wipe it out. And the reason why we do that is because we go back to the ink manager and sort of say, well, you've been watching this. How should it really look? So he comes back with a much more rich set of data and says, okay, this is how it should really look. If we have a look at this function here, redraw the last stroke, you'll see that we pick up the last stroke from the ink manager, and then we draw it with this function here. And notice what I have to do. I get a complex object, an ink stroke, from the ink manager. I split it down into segments. I build up a geometry and a path and a figure. And then we build up some Bezier curves and we add them to the canvas, and that's done in blue ink. But really, this ink manager is doing something smart for us. Couldn't it take more control and do some of that drawing for us? Because injecting my code here might not be the best idea. If you want responsive, fast, fluid ink, putting me in the way of this might not be the best thing to do. And so I think what we should do is move from how this was done in Windows 8 or Windows 8.1 and look at what Direct Ink brings in with Windows 10 and how that changed the game in terms of not having to do any of this manual work anymore. Okay, so that was a look at how we perhaps used to do things before Direct Ink arrived with Windows 10 and UWP. So let's move into a sample that uses Direct Ink and see what that changes for what we've got. So I think what we'll do first is perhaps before we run this up, let's just have a quick look at what XAML elements we're really working with. I'm just going to pick out a couple of key ones here. So what we're really working with in this sample is, just scrolling down a little bit, primarily an ink canvas. That's the big player in terms of Direct Ink, and that's what we're using here. We are also going to use a canvas as well, and we'll talk about where that comes in as we go along. But let's run this up and see what we've got. So if I pick up my pen, we're ready to go.
So this is the proper way to do it. This is the way you'd approach to do ink these days with Windows 10.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to get you a better experience as a developer and a better experience as a user. So if we pick up the pen in the first instance, I'm just going to sketch a few strokes on the screen. And if I pick up my finger, it's always attached hopefully to my arm. And then I pick up my mouse and I can draw with that as well. So we can draw with all those input devices here onto that ink canvas. So let's just take a look about why we get that orange ink and why we get pens and all those things. Let's just switch the code over here. And let's have a look at the first piece of code where, essentially, when things are loaded up, we're going to pull two really important objects out of that ink canvas, because I use them so frequently that we might as well keep them around. And that's two things, the ink presenter and the stroke container. I think they're well named in terms of what they do. And then what we do is we make sure that by default, the control will only deal with the pen. So we switch on the mouse and we switch on touch. So we've got all input devices. And then what we do is we change the ink presentation. So the way that works, it's quite funky, this really. We walk up to the ink presenter and we say, copy your default drawing attributes. Change the color, change the size of the shape, pick a particular shape of pen tip. And then we say, okay, now update your default drawing attributes. And so that's why we get orange ink there on the screen, and from the pen, the mouse, and from touch events.
So we've made it really easy for people there to integrate ink into their applications, and also then with an additional bit of markup to customize how that looks on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, if I flip my pen over and use the reverse side of the pen, we can erase those strokes as well. And you'll notice that as we're drawing with the pen on the screen, in the bottom left of the corner, it says stroke in progress. And in the bottom right, it says one stroke, then it says two strokes, and then it says three strokes. And if I highlight for you this stroke data here, you can see the sort of level of data we're talking about here. We're not talking about pixels on screens. We're talking about, let's have a look at this one. So this first stroke was apparently 495 points, 22 segments. It's not been recognized, it's not selected. It's in a particular color with a particular pen tip. We're fitting a curve to it and we're not ignoring pressure. And actually, that's just part of the data that we could get. We could have broken out the segments and so on.
It's a ton of data. It's a surprisingly large amount of data if you consider that's with every single stroke. And thinking about the scenario we talked about at the start around my signature, for instance, if you were to actually take my signature and think of all the strokes and all the data that's in there, that's a really heavy way of kind of encrypting and spotting my signature.
Yeah, exactly. Tons of data. Now, in this piece of code here, what we did was we handled the strokes collected event, the strokes erased event. When a stroke is started, you see that we just put some text on the screen to say, hey, there's a stroke in progress. And of course, when a stroke ends, we take that text off the screen. The other thing we did was we wrote this little function here called updateStrokesView. And you'll see that it looks into the stroke container and says, how many strokes are there? So the stroke container is watching all these strokes all the time, a little bit like the Ink Manager used to do for us. And then here we've got this function buildStrokeDescriptions. And if we have a look at it, it gets all of the strokes out of the stroke container. And for each one, it counts up how many points are in there, how many rendering segments, what are the drawing attributes. And it just builds a huge string with some of that data in it. Was this ink recognized? Was this stroke selected? Was this stroke fitted to a curve and so on? And we just put all that into this list view here on the screen to show it, really just as a way of showing how rich that data is. So we're building up all that rich data from what we've got on the screen here. As I said, I can reverse the tip of the pen and erase things, but sometimes you want a better sort of erasing mode. So if I drew some more ink, I may want to just be able to switch to erasing mode. So in the top left, we can toggle this draw button to erase, and then as we erase, we just erase those points like that. And again, if we drop back into the code and have a look at how we do that, you'll see we've got this function here on toggle mode, and all it says is essentially is that if the ink presenter is in inking mode, put it in erasing mode. And of course, if it's in erasing mode, guess what? Put it into inking mode and change the button. And that's all we do. So the ink presenter understands, are we erasing or are we inking? Oh, and then we also have a button here that clears everything. So if we draw some more ink, delete all, and you'll see that's as simple as clearing the ink stroke container. So again, the sorts of things you'd want to do, they're already kind of there. But I guess probably the next thing you'd want to do is be able to select some of your ink.
Yeah, I did notice there amongst the stroke details that you've got a flag, a toggle there for, is this selected, isn't this selected or not?
Exactly. So one of the things that the ink canvas doesn't really do for you is it doesn't deal exactly with the graphical area of selection, but the ink strokes, as you spotted there on screen, they know about it. But it doesn't quite draw it for you. So this was the reason why we have another canvas in our UI. So let me show you how it works and let's have a look at that. So what we've done is if I draw some ink on the screen like A, B, and C, I can then use effectively the barrel button on the pen, or the right mouse button if you like, and lasso pieces of that. And you'll notice it's highlighted with a selection. But we want to be really clear here that this is our code doing this. This is not the ink presenter doesn't do that, all of that by default. We're doing some work there. So let's have a look at what that work looks like. It's really interesting if we drop back into the code as to how this looks. So let's go into this next piece of code here. So what the ink presenter does is it realizes there might be times when you want it to get out of the way. And in this particular case, we're changing this input processing configuration to say, if the person is holding the right button on the mouse, or if they're using the barrel button on the pen, we want you to get out of the way, leave that ink unprocessed. And we go back into that old world of pointer press, pointer moved, pointer release. So we handle these events, but that's not for the inking, that's just for the selection when the button's pressed. What we do, in short, is we make a line, we put it onto that backing canvas that I showed, not the ink canvas, the canvas that's sitting behind it, and we build that up as the pointer moves. And then here's the fun bit, really. When the pointer is finally released and we've built a lasso, if you look at the level of, what's the word, not complexity that we've got here, we can go back to the ink stroke container and say, we've just built a polyline. Could you select all the ink that hits that polyline? And it says, yeah, not a problem, I'll select that for you. And if you have a look on the screen, you'll see, as you were flagging here, that it says selected is true on that particular set of ink. And so in the object model behind it knows it's selected. All we then have to do is draw a box around it on the screen, which is not, that's not rocket science. We won't show that piece of code because it's pretty easy to draw a box around something on the screen, especially given that it gives you the bounding box of what to draw. So once we've got selection enabled, there's probably lots of things as a user, you know, you want to do with selected ink, you know, play around with it a bit.
So you can then take it, move it, copy it, paste it.
Yeah, it's all there, isn't it? So, I mean, firstly, we could delete it. So let's delete it. That ink is gone. Let's select some more, and like this B here. Oh no, I didn't quite manage to select that. Let's try again. Select the B. I just built a little function that just moves it across the screen a little bit in a random way. We could copy it to the clipboard, and we could paste it back from the clipboard, and I'm pasting it into the top left corner of the screen there. All of those functions are just there on the ink stroke container. So if we drop back over to our code and look again, having got selected ink, you'll see that here we are on move selection. And we just tell the ink stroke container, move it. And we're just giving it here an arbitrary amount to move it. On copy selection, we just say to the ink stroke container, hey, copy any selected ink onto the clipboard. Or equally, paste any ink that you've got on the clipboard into the app. And of course, you could paste this ink into Paint, where it'll paste as a picture. You could paint it into Word and those kinds of things. That all works fine.
And when you're pasting it into Word, what you're doing, you're copying all of that stroke data as well with it. You're not taking a bitmap of that piece of text. You're taking the stroke data. So that also follows with it.
Well, the stroke data will go to the clipboard, and then it depends on the app that's on the other side, whether it understands the ink or not. So Word will probably just take it as a picture. But then an app that was ink-enabled will take all of that rich data. So notice, let's do this. Let's clear all this ink here. Let's get rid of everything. Let's ink onto the screen. So 1, 2, 3. And then let's copy that to the clipboard. So we're going to select all of it and copy it to the clipboard. Let's delete all of it. Now notice when we paste it back, all of that rich stroke data is back. We didn't just paste back a bitmap, we got all of that stuff back. So it's all gone to the clipboard and back, and we've not lost anything as it was going along. And of course, if you were marking up documents like you talked at the start of the show, we might want to save and load ink. So let's click the save button here, and we'll put this into a file called foo. Let's delete all of our ink. Let's click the load button, bring this back from foo. And our ink is back, and we don't look like we've updated the display correctly at the bottom in this case, but our ink is back. We've not lost any data there. Let's just take a look at how the code works for that. On save, what we do is we pick a file, and then we tell the stroke container to save the ink into that file. On load, we pick a file, and we tell the stroke container to load from that file. So we've done a lot of stuff with all of that ink. You know, around selection and what we can do in terms of loading and saving. I suppose the last thing we should really talk about with this ink is turning it into handwriting or turning it into text. So we've got ink recognition in here as well. So let's clear all our ink here and let's just write onto the screen. Let's write hello, something like that. And then we've got this button here, recognize all. And you see it knows it's hello. It draws a little yellow box around it. Let's take a quick look at how that code looks. And by the way, you'll notice with the ink down at the bottom of the screen here, it knows that it said recognize this true, so it knows that that's been recognized now. Let's take a quick look at that code. So essentially what happens here, when we call recognize, we have this notion of a recognition target. We pass that through here. And our target here is, we're saying recent ink. It's like, what's recent ink as opposed to non-recent ink? What does that mean? Well, in this function, what we do is we create this thing called a recognizer container. And here's the call that does all the work. We say, hey, would you recognize all the ink in our container? And this target parameter for us is going to say recent. That gives us a bunch of results. But it's a bit weird, this function, because it almost seems to throw these results away. It just goes back to the container and says, okay, you've just given us these results. Update yourself with respect to these results. So that's a bit weird. What that's really doing is saying, you've just recognized this ink for me, so you won't need to recognize this ink again in the future. Mark all this ink as being recognized. That's quite smart. You know, the container's doing even more work for us. It's saying, hey, I'll keep a note of what's been recognized and selected and those kinds of things. So the last thing of this is, how do we draw those boxes and text on the screen? If we jump into this function here that updates that, you'll see that we've got this function called draw recognized strokes. We jump to that. And here's the meat of that. It goes back to the stroke container and says, do you remember all that ink that you've recognized in the past? Tell me about it. So what do? We reach into each of those results. We get the possible candidates of the text that the ink has been turned into. And then we just draw the text on the screen and a box around it in order to, you know, that's the easy bit. Once you've got the handwriting turned into text, that's the easy bit. That's all kind of there. And so there we go. We get that on there. Let's write Andrew over here. I don't think that's a very good Andrew. Let's recognize all. It came Andrew up as broken. It's met you before. It's fine. It's there. But you get the idea as to how it was incrementally recognizing that ink. I suppose the last thing we should talk about is just this thing that we started with, formatting the ink and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and this is one of the things I think we do really well at Microsoft. Or in fact, what technology does really well for developers all around is that recognizes where they're having to repeatedly write code or something that should be more generic and providing it as some sort of control so that it's easy to implement and there's a standardized sort of format for it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So I think, you know, at the start we had some code that set the color of the ink to be orange and a width and that kind of thing. Well, every developer is going to end up writing the same thing. So in Windows 10 as it stands today, we have this control in the Visual Studio gallery. So it's not built in, it's in the gallery. And it's called the ink toolbar control. And what it does is it offers you formatting of the ink. So I can pick up a color, I can pick up a size and start to write with that particular size. I can switch to an eraser and use that. There's also a button there which will clear all the ink from the canvas. It does those common things that I, on the left-hand side of the UI, actually built my own for, which I didn't really need to do. Just looking at how you use it, if we drop to our XAML, it's very, very simple. I didn't do anything really to make this work. Our main XAML page, let's just search for the ink toolbar. And you'll see, we declare one, and we tell it where the ink canvas is, and it does the rest.
So we've made it really simple for people to integrate ink and then also to be able to customize or have the users be able to customize that ink on the canvas as well.
Absolutely. And we'll come back in just a follow-on demo in a minute and talk about how that gets better as well with the Windows 10 Anniversary Edition.
So we talked there about how some of these objects controls can handle a lot of behaviors for a developer. But they're obviously programmed in a particular way. What happens if you want to be able to extend those with your own functionality?
Yeah, so it's a good point. So, you know, the ink presenter is doing a ton of work for you, but often that comes with the downside of maybe not being able to tweak things. Let's have a look at one way in which we can do that. So in this example that we've got here, again, Windows 10 UWP, but we've also brought in Win2D, which is a way of drawing things. It's up on GitHub if you're not familiar with Win2D. And let me just show you the UI we've got in here. So this time around, we've got our friend again, the ink canvas. But it's sitting on top of a canvas control from Win2D, and that's a way in which we can do retained drawing. So let's run this up and see what it does in the first instance. So press F5 and run this up. And we want to come back to that notion that we talked about in the intro of wet and dry ink. So one of the things that the ink canvas does for you, which makes it really cool, is it's doing lots of really smart hardware and software work to give you a really fluid, low latency, responsive ink experience. So when I start to ink across the screen here, and I've not lifted my pen up at all at this point, we call that wet ink, and that's being done by hardware and software with low latency, and my code is not involved in this whatsoever. But when I release the pen, that's dry ink. And what the system just did was it gathered all that and drew it with low latency, and then it calls me back saying, okay, if you want to, you can get involved in the rendering of this, in the drying of this. And you'll notice that what I've done in this case is you've just seen in the UI that we had an ink canvas, which always has to sit on top of other elements so it can capture the ink. But you might not want to render the ink on top of everything else. You might want to interleave it with content. And we've done that here. We've interleaved the ink. It's on top of the red circle, but it's underneath the blue rectangle. And that's just a visual trick to show you that's there. You might also, for instance, what if you were building an application that did something like fancy handwriting or something like that, you know, that sort of thing. you might want to control how this is ultimately rendered to the screen. So just as an example over here, we've got a geometry rendering mode where when I draw my ink strokes, you can see they're being drawn by something else. They're not being drawn by the system. You've got this dotted line, and you could take that as far as you want to go. Should we drop in and have a look at the code as how that works? Okay, so the first thing that we do here is very early in the process of our page, and you have to do this before the controls load it. We walk up to the ink presenter and we tell it we're doing custom drying mode. And it gives you back this synchronization object that you then use further on. The next thing we do is we handle the strokes collected event. So anytime we're getting strokes, we're interested. Now in our strokes collected event, you'll notice we tell this synchronization object that we got back, we are starting the custom drying process. So we're starting to do the drying work. The stroke's been collected, we're going to dry it. And then essentially, we tell our canvas control from Win2D to repaint itself. I'm not going to drop into all the detail of this, but let's just have a look at what happens there. When we come into onDraw, essentially what we do is we draw the circle, the big red circle at the back of the UI. And then what we do is we use Win2D to draw the ink on top of that circle. We'll look at that function in just 1 second. And then what we do is we draw the blue rectangle over the top of it. And that's how we get that interleaving. Circle behind the ink, behind the rectangle. If we just have a quick look at this draw ink function, I'm not going to drill in it too much, because the essence is that Win2D knows, fortunately for me, how to draw digital ink. So there's a nice integration here between Win2D and Direct Ink, in that Win2D already knows how to do it. Any of the rest of the code in here is just fancy stuff to do with drawing with that funny dotted geometry that we had. But this one here is simply just drawing plain ink in a plain way, in the way that which it was captured in the first place. So hopefully that just gives you a quick flavor as to how you can take some control of what the ink presenter is doing. Here, we activated custom drying, and we dried the ink ourselves by drawing it back with Win2D, and that let us get layered content. So we've got something on top of the ink and then something else underneath the ink, which you couldn't get just with the ink presenter. So you've got options here about plugging stuff in and taking control as to how things work.
Okay, so now we're going to take a look at some of the updates we've got on the inking platform with the Windows 10 anniversary update. Mike.
Okay, yeah, so we switched to a different laptop. This is my laptop where I run preview builds.
Yes, and looking a little bit early 2000s here with your setup.
It is a little bit earlier than the Surface Book that we had before, but still a great machine. And we've got a separate Wacom tablet here because I haven't got an active digitizer on this particular device. And we're running Windows 10 anniversary preview. So this build is 14352. And it's so new to my machine here, I haven't even had time to activate Windows. But let's just have a look at a couple of things. One thing that you may have seen is the idea of the Windows Ink workspace. And in the Ink workspace here, apps that you are specifically designed for pen. And some of these can even run up above the lock screen, so you can get immediate access on devices like Surfaces and so on. There's a new app for sticky notes here. I know that you're not necessarily bought into the idea of making notes with the pen here, so we'll put that to one side for the moment, but it's a nice little app. And then maybe another experience is switching to the Sketchpad here. And this application is a general purpose, you know, sketch with your pen. You'll notice here that we can pick nice colors, we can pick nice sizes of ink. Let's just move a little bit over there. We can switch into different kinds of modes. Let's just write a quick hello on there, something like that. And again, we can navigate to different kind of device. This is actually a new thing in Windows 10 Anniversary. This is not so much a pen as a pencil. So there's a whole new kind of drawing experience there with a pencil. Feels quite natural, like a pencil. That might help with some of your sketching that you were talking about earlier on. Of course, we can still move into highlighters and so on. So we can pick a highlighter and we can pick a color. Maybe highlight that with some pink over the top of there. And of course, we've got our eraser and so on and so forth. But also here, we've got the new ruler experience, where overlaying on top of that ink canvas that we've got there is the ruler that we can play with. And then obviously, pick up a pen. Let's try and pick up a nice big thick, maybe a nice big thick brown pen here. Let's ramp that up massively and then see if we can draw some big thick strokes. And as we move our ruler around, draw some big thick strokes in straight lines down that ruler, just kind of getting that flowing the way we might expect. A really interesting thing to be able to play and and experiment with that overlaid on top of the surface of the screen, that is. So this thing that you see here, you could build really in no time whatsoever. If we switch over to Visual Studio, then once again, we've got a XAML-based application. We've got an ink canvas and an ink toolbar. Now in Windows 10 anniversary update, the ink toolbar is no longer in the Visual Studio Gallery. It's part of the platform itself, so it's just there ready to go. It also gains a whole bunch of additional capabilities around being able to customize it. It's much less limited than it was before. You can add buttons to it, change the styles, make it fit with your application. There's no code at all, I don't think, in this application. I tell a lie, there is a tiny piece of code that switches on mouse, pen, and touch, as we've seen previously. That's it. And from that, we get the ink canvas. Just let this load up. Let's run on this machine. And we've got our ink canvas. My ink toolbar is positioned in a slightly weird place, but you see how that works. And all of that functionality around controlling the size of the pen and the width of the pen and so on is all here. That's the word here, in case you were wondering what it was I was writing on the screen. And indeed, you know, enabling things like the ruler is also part of the platform. That's also there as well. So if you want that, that's also in there too. All there kind of for free, ready to go. It's not everything that we're doing with updating ink in Anniversary Update, but just a flavor of some of the things. The platform is progressing again, especially around Direct Ink and the ink canvas with Anniversary Update.
And one thing there that we can't really show on the devices you've got here was, but if this was on one of the Surface devices, that you can use your hands and the pen at the same time. So to be able to take that ruler, position it, because the device knows the difference between a pen, between a mouse, between fingers.
Exactly.
It means you can use all these multiple methods of input at one time, which is brilliant for quite a lot of people.
Yes, exactly. So doing work with multiple input modes at the same time, naturally that ruler, positioning it and drawing, and it was going to be a better experience on the screen than working two-handed here,
sure,
in preview mode like we are.
Yes, so Control-Z, the part of the show where we talk about some of the things maybe that we felt we glossed over or we need to give a little bit more information on.
Yeah, so there are a few things that we picked out. Let's run through them in order. Yeah. So the first thing we should say is that we've just spent a long time looking at Ink Canvas and all the wonderful things it does for us and its extensibility and so on. It is a really smart bit of kit. Mm-hmm. Low latency inking, smooth, fluid, all that. It's worth saying that that is a XAML control. So if you're programming in XAML and C++, you're good. If you're programming in XAML and .NET, you're good. If you're programming in HTML and JavaScript, that control isn't in that world. So you'd have to take more of an approach similar to what we looked at with the earlier ink manager and drawing things yourself. So it's a definite upside of a XAML-based control here that does all that work for you. So we just wanted to make the point that's an important thing to know if you're considering your technologies or you weren't in the XAML world, you'd want to know that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think that's a key thing, really.
Next on the list there, ink serialization format. So that's that .isf file that you saved out from one of those demos.
I did, that's right. So let's just drop to the desktop and talk about that for a second, because I saved it here on the desktop. And we said that this contains all that complex ink data. And it's true, it does. But you'll notice, if I just rename it here, let's rename it to be a .gif file. Or GIF file, I never really know.
GIF,
excellent. Let's rename it to be a GIF file. Now you can hardly see, but essentially that is the ink that we saved. Now it's showing up there as a little picture. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, you might be fooled into thinking, oh, it's just a GIF file then. But no, it's not. It's kind of both. They're using a bit of smarts in Windows to give you both a GIF file and the serialized complex data structure that we saw that is ink, all in one thing. So don't be fooled. You know, we wouldn't want anyone to be fooled and think, oh no, they've tricked me, it's a GIF file. It's not just a GIF file, it's both of those things. Quite a smart thing that, really, isn't it?
It is, to retain all of that data in that file as well.
Yeah, the next thing on our list here was that we, throughout everything that we did here, we worked with one pen, which on a device like a Surface Book like this, that makes sense. I only have one on here. I could add additional pens, I guess, but I've only got one pen and keeping track of that is hard enough, lose those things. But there are many devices where you might have multiple, at least, touch points, or you might even have multiple pens.
Yep, Surface Hub, for instance, we've seen that on those.
Surface Hub is a great example. And we wouldn't want people to think that Ink Canvas doesn't work in those scenarios. It does. and it can cope with multiple pens. There's a special mode you switch on for dealing with multiple pens. And so if you were thinking about Surface Hub, Ink Canvas again is your friend for that, but bear in mind this multi-pen mode that we've got for those kinds of devices. I think Surface Hubs always have multiple pens, so you'd always want to think about it there. And so that was that part. And then the last one I put on the list here was this, what I call scaling ink. So on the intro, when we chatted to the show, you talked about annotating a document, and annotations is a key scenario. You might want to annotate some photos or something like that. You've always got to think about the relationship. If you're putting ink over the top of something else, in this day and age where we can resize windows and different devices and those kinds of things, as your content changes size, you've got to kind of think about, well, my ink needs to stay in sync with that, and it also needs to resize in a proportional way to that content. Probably not so bad if you've just got a photograph, but you had something more complicated.
Long Word documents, for instance, how are you going to keep the annotations associated with it? Are you going to have to rasterize that and flatten it to the document? There's a couple of things really to think about in those situations.
Yeah, I mean, that gets kind of interesting, doesn't it? Because if you've got like your legal document on my screen, that might be 20 pages. On your screen, it might be 40 pages. And if you've attached ink over the top of page one, what happens when we move that to your screen? That gets quite, you've got to think about that. And I guess that's why people use things like Word, because it's thought about some of those things as to how you attach comments onto documents. But it's doable. And obviously this gets you a long way there, but we're not pretending that you don't have to think about this stuff. You do kind of have to think about this stuff. I suppose what we should do is give people the links to all the code and those other bits. So should we drop into that last segment of the show where we show people what we've got in terms of all the links to follow up and those kinds of things?
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's just finish up by going through a few links to help you with things around ink, some of the stuff we've seen in the show. So firstly here, we're at dev.windows.com, the Windows Dev Center. It's a great place to go for anything related to Windows 10 and UWP. And then we've given you a link to this article on MSDN, which is a really great article, Pen and Stylus Interactions in UWP Apps. So that's another thing that I'd recommend you to check out. Then I've linked to a couple of build sessions. One is actually back from 2015. So if you go back to 2015, this session here with an incredibly long title, but it's a great session that introduced Direct Ink and talked about some of the things that we've seen here. And then build 2016 of this year, Pen and Ink, Inking at the Speed of Thought, brings that bang up to date, and it's a great follow-on from that 2015 session. Lastly, we did do some custom drying, and there is a Win2D sample on GitHub that you can look at from the point of view of the official sample for custom drying of ink with Win2D. And lastly, all of the code of all of the demos that we show on all of these shows and the links and everything else that we talk about is all in our own GitHub. And it's here at mtalti at GitHub with /context show. And so you can just navigate to that, clone down that repository, and take all of the code that we've shown you all the way through the show.
Thanks, Mike. And that's all for this episode of Context. Do get in touch in the comments below or on Twitter for anything you'd like to see us cover in future episodes. So until next time.